rate, debate, create,
Okay, here we are. Hello.
Here we are.
Hey, girls and gays, how is everyone? No one can answer me.
On behalf of everyone, I think we can say we're really good because in Sammy and I's time, we have just launched the podcast, even though we're on, what is this, episode 9?
Episode 9, I know. We just released it last week.
Yes, which is so exciting. So the first three episodes are now out, but by the time you're hearing this, I guess that means the 9 episodes will be out.
Yeah, wow. We're talking to you from the past. So yes. If ever things like don't line up time-wise, like what's going on in the real world and what we're talking about, that's why.
Yes.
So, yeah. Anyway, welcome to Rate, Debate, Recreate. I'm Sammy Purcell.
And I'm Logan Keller.
And we're back for episode 9. Hey, Logan.
Yes,
I have a question for you. I've been meaning to ask. Why are you always pulling on my dick?
Honestly, that's such a fucking iconic line.
So we should bring back that phrase. I think it holds weight. Anyway.
I normally slap your face off.
Everyone here could watch. Oh my god. Dream roll. Iconic. Well, that question and more will be answered today, because we're diving into a couple of shows that hold some significance, you could say, with the LGBTQ plus community. Would you say so, Logan?
I would say so. I feel like these are both shows that have, okay, less so yours, but both have LGBT representation to, like, an extent. They both do, but in the case of yours, it's just like a cult classic within the queer community, which is what I would say.
You're really misremembering my dead gay son, which we can talk
about
later.
Should we reveal the shows?
Yeah, we should. Let's go ahead. So, as you guys know, on Rate, Debate, Recreate, we each pick a musical, we rate it on a scale of 1 to 10, we engage in some friendly discussion about which one is better, and then we rethink an aspect that we might change and recreate the show and make it better. Because, as we've said many a time, we're the experts here. And this week, our category, as we said, is a show that is big with the LGBTQ plus community. So that was the category, Broadway, broad theme. And my show is Heathers the Musical.
Wow. And my show is Fun Home.
Excellent. I'm excited about this week. It should be fun.
I am too. All
right. Do you want to get started with a little summary?
Yeah. I can talk about Fun Home real quick. Okay. So Fun Home is a musical that is actually based on the autobiographical graphic memoir, Fun Home, which was written by Alison Bechdel in 2006. And if you don't know who Alison Bechdel is, she is an acclaimed cartoonist and also the inventor of the Bechdel test.
Woo!
And if you don't know what the Bechdel test is, it's basically like a test that you can apply to specifically like TV and movies, right?
Yeah, I think it can be any media.
Yeah, any media. And it basically, there's just three rules that it has to pass. It's like the show, it features a woman who talks to another woman.
Both women have
Not about a man. Like, literally three extremely simple rules.
There are a lot of variations, but that's the basic gist of it, yeah. You'd be surprised how many things don't pass.
Yes. Too many. Anyway, so this follows the life of Alison Bechdel. The show mostly takes place in rural Pennsylvania, which is where she grew up, and adult Alison is writing and drawing the graphic novel that she actually wrote IRL and reminiscing on different parts of her life. And that's kind of what the show is. Her family ran a funeral home business that they called Fun Home, which is, where the name of the show comes from. And in like reminiscing in her life, she simultaneously is creating her work of art. So she's like making this graphic novel, but also diving deep into her upbringing and family life and focuses especially on her relationship with her father. So it's really interesting because this isn't like just an adaptation of the novel Fun Home. It is also like behind the scenes almost of her writing the novel and her mindset then. And a lot of what she's doing in writing this is diving into her past and like healing and investigating family trauma, which is tough. So upon leaving for college, Allison comes out as a lesbian. Soon after, her dad also comes out. And then just a few months after that, he kills himself. And none of this is a surprise. You pretty much know this from the beginning. It's talked about. But the story is not told in chronological order. So there's three actresses that play Allison. One at a young age, one at a college age, and then the like present day adult Allison. And so all of this is told in different vignettes as Allison is remembering different parts of her life and piecing together the memory of her childhood and her father. I'm going to give Fun Home a rating of 9 out of 10 dead uncles. The reason why I love the line dead uncles in the show is because so as you can imagine by what I just described, if you haven't seen Fun Home, it's a really sad show. And there are some moments of like lightness and levity that are really fun. And one of them is the three Bechdel kids like play making an advertisement for the Fun Home. And the youngest boy opens it up. It's like a Jackson 5 like sounding number. And the youngest one is like, your uncle died. You're feeling low. So dead uncles is the theme.
Dead uncles. That was great. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and summarize the musical, Heathers the Musical, which if you don't know, is based off the 80s movie, also called Heathers. Fun fact. And it follows teen Veronica Sawyer, who really just wants to get the fuck out of Dodge. She's, like, sick of her high school. Everyone's a dick. She starts off the show kind of lamenting about how all her peers are so awful to each other. And they used to be, oh, what good friends we were in kindergarten and all that jazz. But now everyone's just, like, really awful to each other and calls each other really mean names that I'm not going to repeat because they're very mean. But there are these three popular girls at the school who just seem to be beyond the scope of all this shit. And those are the Heathers, because they are all named Heather. So, sorry. My dog's, like, got me in a mood. I'm just, like, all over the place. Anyway, so the musical actually starts a bit before the movie. So in the movie, Veronica's already friends with the Heathers at the beginning. But in the musical, we kind of see the origin of that a little bit. So she ends up getting the Heathers out of detention using her forgery skills, which become important later. And in return, she asks them for help making her popular. But she doesn't actually really ask for that. She mostly asks, like, can you sit with me once and then people will leave me alone? But it turns into a whole big thing, and they end up giving her a makeover, making her popular. But the Heathers are awful, and they force Veronica to do really horrible things, like write a fake love letter from this, like, dick Ram to Veronica's friend Martha, who has a big crush on him. And she does that, but eventually she just gets really pissed at all the Heathers for pranking Martha, and she quits the group and pukes all over Heather's shoes. The head Heather, Heather Chandler, mythic bitch Heather Chandler. Anyway. So she also, there's like this new kind of mysterious kid, JD, that she bangs the same night she quits the Heathers. She's kind of into him. She doesn't really know where he comes from. He's like got bad boy energy. So she has a really wild night. Next morning, she feels kind of bad about it. She goes to apologize to the lead Heather and tells her she'll cure her hangover, like as an olive branch, basically. Like, she's like, make me a whatever. I don't remember what she asked her to make her. And JD is with her, and he, like, pulls out drain cleaner. It's very weird. Like, I don't understand why she immediately wasn't like, what the fuck are you doing? And she kind of is, but she, like, lets it slide in a weird way. Anyway, he, like, pulls out drain cleaner, and he's like, oh, like, haha, and, like, puts it in his mug as a joke, kind of. But then the mugs get switched, and he, like, notices, but he doesn't say anything. So Veronica gives Heather Chandler drain cleaner, and she dies. So JD convinces her to fake a suicide note using her forgery skills, and she paints a picture of a very sad and misunderstood Heather, and the students all, like, worship Heather more than they did before, eventually, because they, like, think she was just, like, some sad pretty girl trapped in this, like, hot body, and they're like, pretty girls have feelings too, I guess. And the show kind of follows suit with a couple more hijinks like that. So there are these two jocks who are Ram and Kurt, who are really awful and mean, and they, like, lie about having a threesome with Veronica after they try to, like, date rape one of the other Heathers. Like, it's just really rough stuff the whole time. And JD decides to prank them by luring them out to the woods, and he tells Veronica, again, I don't understand why she wasn't like, this is weird. he tells Veronica that he's going to shoot them with fake bullets, but they're actually real bullets. Surprise. And they, like, leave a suicide note about how Ram and Kurt were gay. I guess it's, like, one last laugh, like, haha, now everyone thinks you're gay. But it actually makes the students all feel really bad because they had to hide it. And they feel bad because they feel like they made them feel like they had to hide it because they were homophobic. And so even they, like Heather Chandler, are more revered after their death as well. And their dads are also a thing. I don't know. It's a lot of stuff going on. Anyway, this has gone on long enough. JD, like, eventually goes around trying to get people to, like, sign this petition. At some point, Veronica breaks up with him. She's like, you're killing people. I just can't abide that. And he goes around getting people to sign this petition, but he reveals later that it's actually a giant suicide note, and he plans to blow up the school to make it look like a mass suicide. There's more fake suicide, like that Veronica pretends that she's killed herself at some point, and then JD tries to blow up the school. Veronica stops him, and he gets some weird redemption arc that we'll talk about because it's bullshit. But that's Heathers the Musical. A little different from Heathers the Movie, which we'll also talk about, but I'm going to rate Heathers the Musical. This was tough because I really love a lot of the music. I think I'm going to rate it like 6 out of 10 7-Eleven Slurpees.
7-Eleven Slurpees. Yeah, I also really love Heathers, and I'm also going to give it a 6 out of 10 7-Eleven Slurpees. I think
that's fair.
We'll talk about it, but this is, I guess, my first time watching it, like, more critically, and I wasn't as blown away as I have been in the past when it was just about, like, oh my god, Barrett Wilbert Weed's belting that. Like,
she's great. Yeah,
she's phenomenal.
She's fucking
but
star.
Like, the book, yeah, I'm like,
ooh. Yeah, we'll talk about it. We'll talk. So I guess I'll rate Fun Home. I'm also gonna give Fun Home, like, 9 out of 10. I think it's really, really wonderful and a beautiful story and very moving.
Awesome. Shall we debate?
Yeah, let's get down to it. I guess Fun Home wins, but let's get down to it.
Well, we'll see. Maybe Heathers will have a comeback story.
Maybe we'll talk ourselves into it. I don't know. Do we want to start with, like, Heathers and, like, maybe what we thought was, like, wrong a little bit? Okay. So I guess, like, background on Heathers. Again, like, it's based off the, you know, the movie, it's, like, starring Winona Ryder and Christian Slater. It's really dark, and I think the movie was also, like, a flop at the time. I wasn't alive, but brag. but it became, like, a cult classic in its day, and I've seen that movie quite a bit. I really like it. I don't think it would be made today, just because of the whole, like, school shooting bomb angle. Mm-hmm. But this originally began as an idea for a musical around, like, 2010, and originally Kristen Bell was in talks to star as Veronica, which I kind of like, but I think maybe she wouldn't have pulled off High Schooler at the time. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know how old she is. Not that she looks old. She's
no,
very
but like
beautiful.
High Schoolers,
she looks young,
even,
but like
yeah.
High Schoolers are 16.
She can look like she's like 20 and still look too old to be in high school.
Yeah. But love Kristen Bell. She was apparently in talks first. And then I think in 2010, there was a concert version starring Annalee Ashford and Jeremy Jordan as Veronica and JD, which are some stuff on YouTube, I think, from that one that's pretty good. And then 2014, it went off-Broadway, which is the production we're talking about, starring Barrett Wilbert Weed, who is great. She's a star. I love her a lot. Ryan McCartan as JD, who I don't think he'd really done much. He was, like, on Disney Channel. I don't know. It was one of those.
He won the
Disney
Jimmy
shows,
Awards in 2011, too, I think.
Oh, cool. Okay. awesome. I don't know. He was great. We'll talk about JD. I don't like this version of JD very much. Not that I like the movie version, but, like, it makes more sense. And then the other person who I thought was interesting or of note was Elle McElmore? I don't know how to say her last name. I apologize. But she's Heather McNamara, and she's also Eva in Bring It On. So she's, like, good at playing a bitch. Good for her. The biggest critique that I could find, and I think I agree with it, especially in the second act, is that the musical just, like, the poppiness, like, kind of sanitizes the dark material, and then the book just, like, straight up sanitizes the dark material, especially, like, towards the end of the second act.
Yes.
Because I think in some ways, like, having the music be so, like, pop and Broadway pop, like, very, very bright, at least in the beginning, is, like, a very good contrast to what they're actually saying. Like, at the very, the opening song is called Beautiful, and it's, like, like, it's very, like, you're kind of grooving, and then they all go, freak, loser, slut, like, homo. You know, like, homo, yeah, lard ass, like, it's very, it's, like, it works because it's so, like, incongruent, like, it shouldn't work. It doesn't, like, feel correct, but that kind of makes, like, the horrible things they're doing a little more horrible, because you're like, ooh, like, this is, like, why is this so catchy? Ooh, like, you know, it makes you feel kind of gross. But then I think towards the second act, and that's when they kind of, like, sanitize JD all the way through. First of all, by, like, I guess we'll just talk about that. They, like, give him a little bit of a sob story with Freeze Your Brain, which I like as a song. I think it's a good song. But you, at first, the first, like, feeling you feel towards him, besides, like, oh, that guy's kind of hot, is, like, pity. And that's different from the movie. Like, he is very automatically, like, danger, danger. Like, he's hot. He's Christian Slater. He's, like, hot. But, like, flashing lights, like, bad news, you know? And I think the movie, for some reason, tries to give him some weird redemption arc that I don't understand. Like, the, I don't know.
Wait, the movie or the musical?
The musical, okay. Sorry. Did I fuck up my words? Yeah. The musical tries to give him some, like, weird redemption arc. Specifically, the musical makes it seem like he really actually loves Veronica, and I think that is wrong.
Yeah, I think he doesn't. I don't think he loves anyone.
And that's where, like, the sanitization comes in, I guess, because, like, he, in the movie, when Veronica fakes her suicide, he finds her, like, hanging in the closet. In the movie, he then says, well, I was gonna kill you anyway. Like, he, like, was, like, going to her house to kill her because she was gonna, like, thwart his plot or whatever. But in the musical, he's like, woe is me. Now I have to finish out my plan, like, in her honor.
Yeah.
And I just, they, like, give him some weird love emotion that I don't like. And I don't think you should try to, like, make that character sympathetic at all. I don't know. It bothers me
a lot. Yeah, I agree with that actually a lot. And I think another, like, big thing I don't know if I fully picked up on until this last time I saw it this week is the book is, like, kind of, like, laughably bad at times. And I'm not out here trying to say that, like, I am a connoisseur of books of musicals and stuff, but I don't know. I just found myself at times watching this and being like, was that really, like, the transition into that scene or things like that, which aren't typically things that I pick up on. Like, me kind of dumb. So the fact that I was, yeah. Another, I agree too with your point about JD being too sympathetic. One, like, interpretation I had when I was watching it this time was, like, because he has that horrible relationship with his father, he has this, like, and no mother, he has this, like, need to worship something and get his anger out. And so, like, he places that in his imaginary love for Veronica so that anytime there's, like, a slight inconvenience for her, he's able to take out all of his rage on this, like, in the service of her. Thing. Like, she's so special. Yeah. I'm gonna, like, kill these people. Which, like, part of me, I'm like, okay, that actually is kind of, like, bone-chillingly demented in a way. But I think that there's a way you can still have that and not I don't know. I think JD, like, in the movie and is painted as, like, 100% a villain that is, like, kind of irredeemable. And I don't get that. Like, you're kind of supposed to sympathize with him more in the musical. And I'm like, okay, but you just straight up murdered all these people and, like, want to get away with it and don't really regret it and want to kill more people. Like, what?
Yeah. And I think, like, especially with the way the, like, the ending is slightly different as well. Like, when they confront each other, when Veronica and Jay confront each other at the end of the movie, she, like, straight up shoots him. Like, no, like, she just absolutely shoots him. It's not confusing. And he follows her, like, out, and the bomb blows up. But there's, like, a weird, in the musical, there's, like, a weird declaration of, like, let me take the bomb. Like, I'm damaged. He even sings a song, I think it's called I Am Damaged. And there's, like, a weird, like, let me take the fall. And I'm like, she didn't do anything. Like, I guess, like, she's a little bit guilty.
She's like, complicit, but she was definitely, like, she was definitely mind-melded by this fucking creep. Yeah.
She feels bad. Like, she, and I guess, I don't know. That was another weird thing. She definitely felt bad, but at some point they have her say something to the effect of, I don't feel as bad as I think I should.
Yeah.
That makes me feel worse. And I'm like, no, you obviously feel, I don't know. You're kind of right. The book is a little bit of a mess. The best parts are when they, like, directly quote Heather's the movie. Like, pulling on my dick, fuck me gently with a chainsaw. Which I think whoever, I forget who says it. They say it, like, directly to the audience. Like, they're like, wink, wink, fuck me gently with a chainsaw. Like, they know people are going to lose their minds. Like, which they will. I'm not saying, I would have a blast if I saw this live. Like, it would be so fun. And the vocals were out of control. Like, everyone's a straight up star.
Mm-hmm.
I just think in order to do, like, Heather's justice, you shouldn't, like, try to make it nicer.
Yeah, I agree.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I will say, like, even though I'm giving it a 6, I still love the show. I think it's really entertaining. Oh, yeah. I am just, like, if I'm comparing it to some of the shows that we've talked about and given 7s and 8s and 9s, like,
mm-hmm.
to me, Heather's doesn't meet that bar. But the music is so fun, and some of it is, like Candy Store.
Oh, wow. Top five.
Wow.
That is why Heather backed Mara. I'm like, count me in. Like, it's great. You get to be a ghost for half the show. Like, what a fucking, like, also, she does a great job. I don't remember
why. Heather Chandler?
Yeah. Do you know?
Yes. No, I don't.
Okay. Well, that's great. I'm going to look it up while we're talking about something else because she deserves some accolade, but she's just great.
Like, Jessica Keenan Wynn.
Great. Okay. Jessica Keenan Wynn, you're a star. I just, the way she, like, eats up every bit of, like, fucking scenery she has is just wonderful. And I think to that effect, like, everyone on stage is absolutely hamming it up. Barrett Wilbert Weed has, like, the most delicious, like, dirty little laugh.
Yes.
Yeah. And it, like, just, like, made me lose my shit every single time. Like, everyone in the show is absolutely wonderful. I just wonder if, and but then I'm like, do I really want to sit there and watch, like, a dark, I don't know, it's tough to, like, adapt something that subversive. I don't know, it's weird.
Yeah. Okay, I am going to talk about Fun Home for a little bit.
Go for it.
So, I'm just going to start off with a few, like, facts about the show, and then I'll get into some of the things that I like about it. But Fun Home, it came out in 2015 and was nominated for 12 Tonys, which is pretty wild, and it won 6, including Best Musical, Book, Score, Direction, and Best Actor. Something that I love and think is so well-deserved is that all 4 of the lead women in the show were nominated for Tonys. Beth Malone playing adult Allison as the lead actress, and then the middle and younger versions of Allison, so Emily Scruggs and Sydney Lucas, and then their mom, who is Judy Kuhn. And they all got Tony nominations. Yes. For better or worse.
I know. Different podcast.
Yeah, so I think similarly in this show, but in a different way, the acting in this show is, like, unbelievable. I really love that in this story, there really aren't heroes or villains. Even though you kind of have, like, the parents, in a way, acting as an antagonist to Allison in a lot of times, they're also portrayed in a really sympathetic light. And I think it shows, like, the complexities of family relationships and how, like, at times, like, although family members might be some of the people we hold, like, the deepest connections with, they also can be some of the most, like, elusive figures and, like, people that we know the least about their, like, real identities. And I think that this show, like, really, really nails that. One thing I really want to talk about is that, so the graphic novel Fun Home has, like, it's just a crazy story. Like, the odds and craziness of, like, all that happening, in a funeral home, there are just so many, like, interconnections. It's an amazing story, and I think that they could have really easily just, like, put that on stage, but that's not what they did. Like, the fact that the show is actually following, like, the creation of that novel and, and the diving into that territory of, like, you know, you're, you know, going back and looking through your childhood trauma, and your relationship with your family and where you fit into all that. So the fact that it's not done chronologically, it's done through memories. So I think another part of this is, like, it's very clear that the entire time you're getting Allison's perspective. For example, there are, like, a few times when she insinuates that possibly her dad, like, hooked up with a guy that night, or possibly, like, was doing this, like, mischievous thing with, like, an underage boy that was, like, a former student. Like, there are moments of that, but you never have full confirmation because all of it is, like, these assumptions that Allison is making based on what she grew up with. So I really, really love that. Even the mom who kind of is, like, I don't think you're really supposed to love her. She kind of is, like, homophobic towards her daughter when she comes out. And has a lot of trouble, like, accepting her. She also, like, has gone through so much and, like, basically has dealt with her husband cheating on her, like, for all of their marriage. And I mean, like, I don't know. And also, like, he's, like, just kind of a really emotionally abusive person.
Yeah, I was about to say, he's, like, he's far from perfect.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I think that the complexity of it all is something that the show does really well. I think that another point I want to make is I feel like recently is in, like, maybe the last 20 years, 10 to 15. I feel like a lot of shows that are about the life of a person have followed a model of, like, multiple versions of the person in their life. So, like, I know a recent Broadway show was, what's the one where they had, like, the disco Cher? Yeah, Cher, the Cher show.
Sure.
They have three different versions of Cher. And I feel like a lot of shows recently have followed that, like, trajectory. To me, Fun Home nails that aspect with the three versions of Allison. First of all, like, they're three distinct periods of her life, and you very intentionally don't get the in-betweens. So, like, young Allison is, like, the actress is 11. I don't know how old she's supposed to be, but she's supposed to be, she's, like,
perfect.
Yes, yeah. Like, Sydney Lucas is unbelievable.
Fuck. Yeah.
Yeah. I think she's supposed to be, like, maybe 8, 9, 10 age in the show. And she, like, I forgot what I was talking about.
It's okay. I kind of interrupted you.
No, it's okay.
Three distinct periods in
as a show that has, like, three distinct periods. And then you have the college-aged Allison, who is, like, a freshman in college, again, she's a freshman the entire time throughout the show. So what you're really getting is like these deep dives into kind of like different phases of her life that were really impactful. And you see that young Allison has this realization that she's different. She doesn't know what it is, but she likes to wear boys' clothes, in her words, and she doesn't like to wear dresses. And the song Ring of Keys, she like drools over this butch lesbian woman that comes in. So she like starts to kind of recognize without maybe knowing what that actually means, which is 100,000% something I can relate to. It's kind of like why when, I don't know, people, especially when I first came out, a lot of people would ask me like, well, how long did you know? And I'm like, the answer is simultaneously that I always knew and that it was a very recent discovery for me, because there's this one sense of maybe like your deep self understanding that and knowing it through experiences in your childhood. But then there's this other part of you that like vehemently denies that. And that is the part I think that you have to accept or come to terms with to like fully realize it. And I think that's what we see in the middle portrayal of Allison, is her in college having this like mind-blowing experience with another woman, Joan, and changes her major to Joan.
Oh, great song.
Yeah, we see that like at this point of her life, she has left home. She's in a more like liberal artsy bohemian lifestyle in college and has let go of a lot of the attachments that like I think kept her, that version of myself that I was talking about, like that kept that version from coming to terms with things. And that's gone. But once that's gone, now she has to face her relationship with her father. And that is where that part of the story unfolds. And so I love the way that this show is written, in that Allison is like looking back on herself. And many times the current Allison actually is in there herself, like as if she's reliving it. So the song Telephone Wire, which you sang that, right?
Yeah. No, Kristen did. Shouts to Kristen and a few other people.
Yeah. Yeah, Telephone Wire, is that song takes place in middle Allison's timeline, but mm-hmm. old Allison is the one that sings it, and that's her last moment with her dad before he kills himself. I think that was, yeah, because the song ends, that was our last night. And yeah, so like at that part, it's really clear, because the whole time it's like the college student visiting home. But then you have Beth Level, queen. Or no, not Beth Level. But, well, Beth Level is also queen, but Beth Malone. Beth Malone, like, going back into that place in herself to heal that trauma. And she does. And she does that through making this book. So I think this is not only a story of, like, this crazy plotline that happened. It's also this story of, like, interrogating our inner selves to face things that we like may not even know are holding us back, but are like really integral to our self-growth.
Yeah, I think I have a couple of things like based on what you said, and I'm like almost considering amending my original rating to a 10.
Now I am too.
I know. I think Fun Home is like a really, really great example of, so like there's a, when you're like trying to represent like a minority or like underrepresented community in arts, like Hollywood is a great example because they're Hollywood, and like you can use the term like Hollywooding something, sanitizing something, if we're going by Heather's terminology. But there's, when something comes out that is about like an LGBTQ person or a person of color or whatever underrepresented community it might be, I feel like there's a sense of like trying to make the experience as broad as possible to try to like hit as many people as possible. But I think they should just do the opposite, because like this experience, Fun Home, is so specific. She is a lesbian. She's a lesbian cartoonist who grew up in a funeral home, who had to come out to her parents and then like found out her dad was gay and he'd been cheating on her mother with men like for her entire childhood, right? Or like she assumed he was. That is a very specific experience. I've certainly never been through that. But, like nothing even close. But when things are that specific, like, the emotions are so much more real. And even though, like, I've never been through that specific experience, like, there's an emotion attached to it that I can understand that, mm-hmm. like, is maybe attached to another experience for me. But, like, a good example, I think, of this is going back to Ring of Keys. First of all, Sydney Lucas is a star. Yes. Like, oh my god.
And I love that was what they sang at the Tonys.
Yes, that I loved that. But the parts of the song that, like, kill me the most are when she, like, can't finish her sentences. Yes. And she does it, like, multiple times when she's like, I want, like, and just, like, doesn't understand, like, fully what she wants, but knows what she wants. And that's something I've never had to come out to anyone. I've never experienced, like, that type of not understanding what I was feeling. But I have, like, not understood a feeling that I'm having mm-hmm. from some other context. So I think Fun Home is just, like, such a wonderful example of how, like, maybe we should, like, focus on these really specific experiences of, like, underrepresented people, because those emotions are so much stronger than, like, a broad generalization. And even if you think the broad generalization is going to hit harder, like Moonlight's a great example. Like, that's a really specific experience, mm-hmm. but, like, it hit so much harder than, like, any broad, like, generalization of it ever would.
Yeah, and I think that both Fun Home and Moonlight, now this is a Moonlight stan cast.
This is a Moonlight podcast now.
Both of those shows, I think, in giving those, like, hyper, like, not broad generalizations, basically, and giving those hyper representations, they also, like, personally impacted me in a way that's more than just, like, I cried during so many movies. So, like, you show me, like, a shitty rom-com and I'll cry, but I cry and then I'm done with it. Whereas, like, these shows, that I leave them, like, raw and am, like, interrogating myself and, like, thinking through my past and my past trauma and my, like, relationship with my family, and, like, not in a negative way, really, like, in a way that's, like, damn, like, it went there and now I'm going there. And yeah. I think that that's the kind of experience that you can create with a show that is just really true to the person or people or experience that it's telling.
Yeah, like, Alison Bechdel, like, and she, I'm assuming, had, like, a bunch of input into the musical itself. Like, I know she wrote the cartoon, but do you know how much, like, input she had?
I think she was consulted, but she's sure. Not, like, on the credits for book or lyrics or anything. But I don't know how much she was, like, in the making of it.
Still, like, again, just, like, having that, like, specific person to draw from, and you shouldn't ask them to, like, make any concessions to, like, make something more palatable. I don't know. It's an interesting conversation. I might amend my rating of it to a 10.
Yeah, I just think it's, like, to do that too.
I think even, and sometimes, like I was listening back through the cast recording for Fun Home today, and it's a lot of talking. Like, it's not, and I think, like, sometimes, especially if I'm just listening, my brain, like, checks out a little bit when it's just talking. So, but even then, I'm like, this is, like, a 10 as far as, like, a cohesive, like, specific experience that can really dig into, like, an emotional experience that someone had.
Yeah.
That can affect me, even though I've never done that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny you say that about the people talking in songs, because
lots of people talking.
Yes. So the book was written by Lisa Crone, and then the lyrics was Janine Tesori, who we've talked about
again
twice before. I've talked about it twice
this
before.
Is a Janine Tesori stan queen. Podcast,
but it's Janine Tesori and Lisa Crone. So the book writer is also, like, in the lyrics. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, department was what I was gonna say. But department in a metaphysical way, not, like, you know. Anyways, another thing about this show that's insane, Sammy, that, like, blew my mind when I read this is the first and potentially, based on just like my knowledge of what's come out since Fun Home, potentially only Broadway show with a lesbian protagonist.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, like as the leading like character.
Yeah.
I don't think any. Oh, I guess Prom.
Well, Prom.
Yeah.
There we go. I was about to say. Okay, wait, I knew there was one.
But
only two.
Two.
Yeah. Man. That sucks.
I know.
Let's write our own.
Yeah, I mean, hey, I'm in.
Yeah.
Let's do it. I think that those are the main points I have about Fun Home.
Yeah. I feel like I shit on Heathers a lot, and I just want to say, I feel really bad about, like, crapping on things, because people worked hard, and I had a great time while I was watching it. It's a very, very fun show, and I do like a lot about it. Honestly, I'll talk a little bit how I'm going to make it better, but we've talked about some of it already, but I don't know. It's fun.
Yeah, I agree. It's a really fun time. I love listening to
the music.
And it's definitely not a show that I leave from being like, that wasn't, like, I leave from that show being like, fucking, I love Heathers. Wow. Lit.
Yeah. That's a show I would go to and buy, like, a way too expensive drink or maybe two and just, like, have a fucking blast.
Yes.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Exactly. You just, when you think about it more critically, it's tough sometimes.
Yeah.
But.
Also, in the defense of Heathers, it still has never had a chance to go on Broadway, and it definitely was working with an off-Broadway production. So,
yes,
like, 100%. I think that is another part of it that maybe, like, doesn't make everything fit. I do think it's possible that with some rewrites and, like, a Broadway-level production budget, I do think Heathers could be, like, significantly improved.
Yeah, so they've already, so they did, like, change one song, so there's Heathers 101, which is the high school version of Heathers, which I
they take out blue balls, right?
Yeah, they take out blue, which honestly, that's fine. Like, it's a funny song, but the whole like concept of it is awkward to me. And I don't know. I was watching it the other night. I was like, oh, I don't know if I like this. But they change it to a song called "You're Welcome," which like I've never heard. But the whole premise is basically,
isn't
like,
it like,
what can like I you're say welcome,
except you're welcome.
Yes, exactly. That's it. Yes, Dwayne the Rock Johnson comes on stage and sings to Veronica, and he's Maui. Anyway, so you made me lose my train of thought.
Okay. Sorry.
No, I've got like Moana on the brain.
You're welcome, okay. The song that replaced.
You're welcome, the song. So the premise of the song is like, oh, you were once like a dirty little nobody, Veronica, but now you're hot, and we want to hook up with you, so you're welcome. Which I think is kind of funnier than Blue Balls.
Yeah.
Like, it's like stupider, you know? Like, Blue Balls is like, I don't know. I just think like that's a little bit more clever.
I agree.
And apparently they like, so they wrote that for the high school version, which like zero idea how that exists, but they have, apparently, I guess there was like a West End production.
Yeah, Terry Fletcher played Veronica.
Yeah, and they added "You're Welcome" into that.
Oh, they're gonna, like, I didn't know
any,
that.
Yeah, any licensing going forward, I think they're gonna be like, you have to use.
Yeah, I would be really interested to see what changes they made for the West End version. Actually,
I know. I kind of hope, like, because again, like, it was off Broadway. Like, obviously, like, shows go through changes. I'd love to see some changes. Maybe I'll suggest some soon.
Well, should we just get straight to that?
Do you want to do a bop list?
Oh,
do
you have a Fun Home bop actually, list? My bop list for Fun Home is the whole thing, because every time I listen to Fun Home, it's like the type of musical that I put it on and I just listen to every song in order.
Gotcha.
Like, there are some shows where I, like, sometimes I just want to shuffle around and, like, Aida, I'll listen to, like, you know, My Strongest Sue, and then Robe of the Dance of the Robe. But like this show, I have to listen to it beginning to end. Like, it's like if I'm listening to Fun Home, it's a Fun Home listening session kind of day.
That makes total sense. Because again, so much talking.
Mm-hmm.
So much talking. I'll go through the Heathers bop list. Beautiful. So we start, we open. I have a great opening number. Candy Store. Fucking iconic. Like, ugh, let's bring back pulling on my dick as a phrase. Fight For Me. I also really enjoy Freeze Your Brain, Big Fun, Dead Girl Walking. Really, like, the first six songs are just like, all right, like, I'm in, let's go. Then For Me, we kind of skip some. I think Our Love Is God is a good song, but it kind of freaks me out.
Yeah, it is weird.
Like, just listening to it by itself. Yeah. So I'm going to say no.
Especially the end.
I like My Dead Gay Son. It's fun. 17, just fucking killer.
Maybe a little too. Shout out Rachel Calvosa and Jack Richardson.
Yeah, so shouts, guys. Baby Pitch and I guess Baby Shot, whatever. Fuck the shots. No one's gonna understand that.
Yeah, that's gonna stay that way, I guess.
Whatever. 17. Lifeboat is kind of like a creepy sad bop, but like she kills creepy, it. I really bop. Like that song. Sad bop. Then you know what? I think the rest of it I might skip a little. Yeah. I think it's really top heavy. It's a top heavy show.
I think it is too.
Yeah.
I think it's another example of when it slaps also. Like, some of these songs are so fucking good.
Dead Girl Walking is just like...
I like... Oh, that's one of the hottest onstage scenes, I think, like, ever.
Slap me. Oh my god, it's so good. I'm like... Oh, wow. Okay, that's my bop list. Should we get right on to it?
Let's do it.
Alright.
Do you want to go first or second?
I can start with mine. Okay, cool. Won't be too long because we've talked a little bit about it. I took this a little more seriously this week.
I like the serious ones.
Oh, thank you. But I just kind of wanted to talk about what I think. Because again, like, adapting source material that is as dark and subversive as this movie is, like, for a Broadway audience is tough. Like, it's a cult classic movie and it didn't do well when it was first released. So it's a tough adapt. A tough adaptation. Adaptation, that's the word. So I was trying to, like, figure out, like, maybe what were my problems and, like, what would help kind of fix some of the holes in the story. And I guess we'll start with a little bit about JD, because, like, we talked a lot about JD. Yeah, I just think giving him the redemption love story arc is just an absolute no. Like, I think you need to stick a little bit more towards the Christian Slater version. Like, maybe take out the Freeze Your Brain song, make him a little more elusive in the beginning. I think introducing his dad, which they do, like, his dad's a character, it's a weird choice. It's really short, and it just, like, the dad is also kind of a dick. It just, again, like, creates this kind of, like, sense of pity for him that I don't think super belongs. And it's kind of tough, but this might mean you either have to rework 17 or, like, take it out. But I think you can rework 17 to make him more devious.
Like, on his birthday?
Yes, it's his birthday.
I'm turning 17.
Yes, that's it. No, I was thinking maybe make him... If you, like, make it a little more obvious that he's... not fully invested, or he's lying to her, he's fooling her a tad, which he does, like, throughout the rest of the show. It shouldn't be that hard. Anyway, I think the JD redemption arc is just no-go for me. I also think what would probably help is giving Veronica, like, a tad more motivation, and I think Barrett Wilbert Reed, like, is the saving grace of the show. Like, she's funny, she's a great actress, she's, like, kind of got the internal struggle down really well, I think, that Veronica has to have. And she can fucking sing.
Yes.
So, she's great. She's wonderful. But I think Veronica's motivation is, like, a tad questionable. And the movie doesn't have this problem, because in the movie she's, like, already kind of popular. But in the opening number, like, in Beautiful... Veronica in the musical waxes, like, poetic about wanting everyone to be nice to each other and not wanting to leave and just, like, wishing we could go back to the way we were and no one was mean. And then immediately goes to the popular girls and is like, hey, make me cool. You know?
Yeah.
And her initial ask of them kind of makes sense to me, because at first she says, I crave a boon, which is also another thing we should bring back. She says, I crave a boon, and she says... let me sit at your table, and, like, if you just, like, tolerate me for 5 minutes, everyone will leave me alone. Like, that's all I want. I just want to be left alone. But they immediately, like, shoot to popularity, also for reasons unknown. Like, they're basically like, you're kind of hot. All right. Like, we'll hang out with you. So I think if the show could make it a little more clear that Veronica, like, craves the popularity a bit and craves the attention a bit, because she clearly does.
Yeah.
Like, later on. But it's not obvious at the beginning at all. At the beginning, she's just like, oh, get me the fuck out of here. I wish we could all be friends and sit with rainbows and ponies and eat a cake full of unicorns. What does she say in Mean Girls? That? Okay, perfect. But it's always talked about, like, all she... You don't even go here. Anyway. But she always talks about how, like, all she wants is to not be bothered. But that's clearly not what she wants. And then, like, later on, like I said, like, her motivation, like, she, I don't know, like, after Heather's death, she talks about how she doesn't, like, feel quite as bad as she should, but she acts like she, I just think there's some, like, dichotomies, shall we call them, in Veronica's character that aren't quite explored thoroughly enough, and I think Barrett Wilbert Weed, like, overcomes them because she's so likable, and that laugh is just, like,
yeah,
completely infectious. And she's a great actress. Like, she's able to, like, convey the serious things in a way that I think is quite effective, but I do think Veronica's motivation could be, like, fixed a little bit in the opening number, and they chose to add, like, that opening and, you know, have her, like, friendship with Martha explored a little more, which, like, I don't think they're really friends in the movie. And the last thing I have is just kind of the end. I wish they'd, like, stuck to the movie ending and not just the whole JD thing, but at the ending of the movie, Veronica invites Martha, who it's not really implied that they had a relationship beforehand in the movie. She invites Martha to watch movies with her. And in musical, she also invites, like, the remaining Heathers, so Heather McNamara and Heather Duke, to watch movies with her. And McNamara, I sort of understand because she's gone through her own shit and she attempts to kill herself earlier in the show and she's obviously going through something. And I sort of understand that. But Heather Duke is fairly ruthless in the movie and in the musical. And I think it's an attempt to make it sort of a, like, oh, maybe we can all be friends again. But I'm just not sure if it completely works. Yeah, that's what I got.
Thank you. I mean, hey, if it's going to Broadway, let's write
maybe
them,
write take them some in. Notes, baby.
Yeah.
We'll lick it up, baby.
Email the
lick
people.
It up.
Okay. I took a little bit of a different approach. Okay. So as we've discussed, Janine Tesori wrote the score for Fun Home, as well as many other shows that we know and love, like,
yes,
Thoroughly Modern Millie, Violet, Carolina Change, and most notably, Shrek the Musical.
Just prolific.
yeah, Janine Tesori, Stan Pod here. So one thing I was thinking about was some similarities between Fun Home and Shrek the Musical. They both have three actresses representing the leading lady at three different points in their life, but they do it in very different ways. So that was, like, thought one. Now I'm going to introduce you to thought two.
Okay.
Which is my motivation for what I'm about to say. Thought two is, Fun Home is literally so good, but as I discussed, it's also extremely sad and heartbreaking. And I'm a Cancer, so I love that shit and get off on it sometimes. But at the same time, sometimes you just need a fairy tale kind of ending. So what I decided to do is rewrite the song Ring of Keys, but do it to the tune of I Know It's Today. So, like, the Young Allison and Young Fiona section. And instead of Fiona singing about the prince that she'll marry one day, it's, like, the same perspective as Ring of Keys. So it's, like, about she's
the
she's like
woman?
Yeah, she's singing about her, like, discovery, like the fairy tales are like her vision of this butch lesbian and like what that will mean in her future.
Beautiful.
So this is to the tune of I Know It's Today. I'm just gonna sing it.
Do it.
And this is, imagine Sydney Lucas's voice.
Try to imitate her.
Okay. Nope, that's not happening. There's a woman in the doorway. Oh my gosh, she's just like me. Kinda manly, kinda girly. How I gaze upon her keys. She passes through the door like no one else before. As time goes by, she sits and waits. As time goes by, uh-oh. A torturous existence. This is like she's like being introduced to what it's like to be queer. Or like her perception of that. A torturous existence. I don't remember this part. She wishes she were dead. Skip ahead, skip ahead. But in the end, the lesbian leaves for a new start. She finds another lesbian who opens up her heart. So I know she'll appear, and her ring of keys will blind me. Her swagger and the just right clothes, holding her keys, she'll propose on one knee. And make our families reconsider. It won't be long now, I guarantee. Day number 23. After seeing the lesbian.
That was so good.
Thank you.
Wow. I loved it so much.
So that's what would make Fun Home better, is if we took out Ring of Keys and added that.
Ring of Keys, don't know where.
Yeah, like that song, you know, it's like a skip. No, it's not even like the best song on the show or anything.
Oh my god, shut up. Okay. Oh, that was great.
Thank you.
Should we tease next week?
Yes, let's do it.
All right, I have it pulled up. I'll say it. It's exciting.
Okay. Ready? Yeah.
Drum roll, please.
Ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba.
Shows about war. Is there a category for next week?
What could it be? Comment. Okay, we keep telling the comment below. Comment on our Instagram. That's what you should do.
Or like, you know, tweet at us.
Yeah.
Or, oh, let me pull up. Okay, pause and I'll tell you what our Twitter is. Tweet at us. Our Twitter is Rate Debate Recreate at Rate Debate 1. Because I guess some other bitch has that handle. But yeah, at Rate Debate 1, you can follow us on Twitter. You can follow us on Instagram now.
Soon, OnlyFans.
Yeah, we're going to get one of those, you know? Rate Debate Recreate, please, on Apple Podcasts. We should be up on Spotify by now, I hope.
Yes.
I'm trying to get it up. Yeah, rate us, subscribe, share. Yeah. Tell us you love us, tell us you hate us.
And we love you.
We love you no matter what.
Love and all that jazz. And war next week.
War next week. Fun times. Right. Bye, everybody.
Bye. Rate.